Okay, good morning, everyone. Freilich and Shushan Purim. Hope everyone had an inspiring and very meaningful and Hartzig Purim this year. Bezrat Hashem, next year we're celebrating Purim with the end
Yeah.
of Amalek and a celebration of Purim in Eretz Yisrael. We took a 2-week break learning Megillas Esther, and we're coming back. And we're up to Perek Beis in the Shmuel Beis. Just a little bit of background, but I think everyone here, we're more or less on the same page, is that David HaMelech was just informed that Shaul and his three sons, three of his sons, were killed on Har Gilboa in a battle with the Plishtim. And David mourned the death of Shaul and Yehonatan, especially his close confidant and best friend in the entire world, in a very, very real way. He shared a eulogy, which is forever written at the end of Perek Aleph. And also, there was a person that told him this information who said, "I was the one that killed Shaul." And we had pointed out that it's not really clear from the psukim, if you just compare the stories, if that was so accurate, but it could be this guy was trying to curry favor with David because he assumes that David would be so happy with the death of his father-in-law Shaul. David had this guy killed. He did this for political, I mean, two reasons. Number one, that he said, Picha and Abicha, you said you killed the king, chutzpah. That is treason. That's treasonous on its own right. Secondly, he wants to show the entire country that he is unhappy with the death of Shaul. He would be okay, being second in command. I'm sure he's not so happy running away, but that never led him to ever consider killing Shaul HaMelech. Never. And we just continue now in Perek Beis with this transition. Transitions can be very tricky.
If David is the king and the king is killed, as long as I say and give a license, if I don't like the king, I can kill him. So he doesn't want to encourage people to make him a target.
Okay, Sam, there is. Sam's saying there might be some selfish motivation here, preservation by doing this too. Because if he's going to say the king's body is for anyone to take advantage of, then I could do that. Someone could do that to me as well. Well, we're going to see here that David doesn't quickly or immediately jump in to take the mantle of king. When there's a transition, there's a void, right? The United States Constitution was very, very serious and was very astute when it made sure that there's a transference of power. That within itself is very important, that there shouldn't be a moment when there's a leadership vacuum within the United States, right? So what happens when there's a leadership vacuum, right? Now, what would you think would happen? Right now, Shaul's dead. David is living in foreign territory. He's living in Siklag. There's a vacuum. So news travels a lot slower back then than it does today. That's not even a question. Okay, so we don't know how long this is taking. But what could happen when there is, a void? Any suggestions?
Civil war, people fighting to be the king.
A
It could be
grip, a grab
right.
power, grab for
It could
power.
be okay. There could be individuals trying to grab power for themselves. That could lead to what Sam said, a civil war, where you have factions that say, "I want this, we want this. Who says you're right? I say I'm right." Okay, so.
Shaw may have family that says that he's the king and we should be king after him.
100%. What about Shaul's family? Don't they feel an achrayus, right, to becoming the next king, or an achrayus to? Sorry, I'm just going to mute everybody. back. Doesn't he feel some type of responsibility? You could unmute yourself, but something was kicking back onto the screen. So they feel responsibility to Shaul and to his legacy to maybe get another king from Mishpacha. Isn't David Mishpacha? Doesn't that matter? You know, or does it? I don't know. So any other suggestions before we go on? Okay. Vayihi achareichen. Vayishal David b'Hashem lemor. Ha'aleh b'chas arei Yehuda. David does not immediately come back to Eretz Yisrael. He's not sure if that's the right decision. David instead asks Hashem. As we know, David has the Urim and Thummim are in his possession because Ahimelech took them and brought them to him after the slaughtering of the entire city of Nov, Ir HaKohanim. And he asks Hashem, should he go back to Arei Yehuda? For the Malbim points out over here that it's not a foregone conclusion that he's going to return. He doesn't know if that's the right thing to do. He wants to do what's right for the Jewish people, not right for me, myself, and I, right? How many people, make decisions just for the sake of everyone else and not ignore, but put their needs very much secondary? And that's what we see David is doing right here, right now, asking Hashem, what is the right thing to do? This, the Malbim says, is really showing us that David is not intentionally grabbing the Malucha. We all know, because we have insider information, in that we've learned Shmuel Aleph already, that David was already anointed. It's the aftermath of the Haftorah that we just read this past Shabbos. David was anointed as king. Yet David is not grabbing the Malucha. He's not looking for this position.
Rabbi, remind me, is Shmuel still alive or is he dead?
Who can answer Mendy's question?
Don't
We don't know. Okay, minus five in everyone's next paper. That's it. Shira, gotta unmute yourself. You're screaming at the screen, I see.
He's dead. Didn't we already read that?
We did. We did, not once, but twice. Like,
Yeah.
two psukim say that he died. Okay, Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis. Good. So that's a joke. Yes, but Shmuel is very much dead, right? There is no, you could argue, I don't know, there's no prominent Navi now that we're going to meet for a little while, a little while. So there is a major void. There's a major void. Okay. Vayomer Hashem Elov. Hashem responds to him and he says, Ale. Ale, go up. Go to Eretz Yisrael. Vayomer David, Ana Ele, where should I go? See, if you were someone, every nuance here is very, very important. If you were somebody that was looking for the leadership grab, the power grab, you wouldn't even ask the next question. You would say, oh, where should I go? Obviously, Yerushalayim. Obviously, wherever Shaul had his palace, that's where I'm gonna go. Might not have been in Yerushalayim yet. Maybe I'm speaking too soon. But wherever his palace was, that's where I should go, because that's where obviously I belong. David does not take that as a foregone conclusion. And he says, where should I go? And Hashem says, go to Vayomer Chevrona. Chevron. Chevron Ir HaKodesh. Right? Amazing. He says to go to Chevron. Vayal Sham. David, why would he say to go to Chevron? Now, why would Hashem say the place that where you should go to is Chevron? Of all the places. Any suggestions? What do you know about Chevron? Who
The
owns Chevron? What?
other leader, our ancestors are buried there, near there.
Okay, so he's go hang out with in the Ma'ara, in the
Not Dafka there, but
yeah.
sort of like emphasizing his importance as an upcoming leader.
Emphasize the importance by you going and like almost the image or the picture the headline is going to look so good. David HaMelech goes to Hebron, right? When leaders announce their campaigns, right? They're very, very specific, bikavana, where they announce their campaign from. Either it's to like show them, sometimes they're very, they become very wealthy and aristocratic. And the shmua about them on the streets is that they are out of touch with reality. So where they go? They go to like a small mom and pop shop, or a, you know, a very much a blue collar business, where they go back to their humble beginnings and announce their run for president from a small little high school in which they grew up in. You know, so here, Shira is suggesting that maybe what's happening here is that this is an important place for him to go to, because the people, the imagery of this, of David going back to the roots, not his roots, but the roots of the Jewish people in general, is meaningful. It could be, and we'll maybe have to analyze this as we go further. Very practically, whose region was Hebron in? Who did it belong to? It belonged to Yehuda. Go back to Shevet Yehuda. They will protect you. You'll be okay there. You're not going to face the politics in the way that you might face if you go to a different city. Perhaps. Vayal Sham David, Vigam Shtei Nashav, Achinom HaYisraelit, Vavigal Eshes Naval HaKarmeli. He goes there with his mishpacha. And again, he has 600 men, women, and children that are with him. Everybody goes. And he has two wives that go with him too. We'll see if he has kids. We'll mention that a little bit later. But he's missing one wife. This wife didn't come with him on his, you know, when he was hiding. Who is his wife that's missing right now? Michal, right? Michal is missing. And we'll see. Remember, she was given to a different man, to Barzilai HaGiladi. And we will see what happens with that shortly. So all the people that took care of David and supported him and protected him, and they were like a band of brothers, they all went with him to Hebron, Biachar. Okay. It happens to be David grew up in Beit Lechem. Beit Lechem is not so far, right? This is very close to where Mami and Abba grew up, where Yishai and David's mom grew, you know, this is very, very close to that. This is familiar territory to David HaMelech, for David HaMelech. Vayavo Anshei Yehuda, the Anshei Yehuda hear that he's coming. And what is their immediate reaction to David HaMelech coming home, right? Not Tzadik Baliir. Right, a big sign sometimes when the Rabbanim come to cities, Tzadik Baliir. What do they have? They have Melech Baliir. Right? Melech Baliir. Vayavo Anshei Yehuda. The Anshei Yehuda here that David's coming. It can't be a secret because David's not traveling. He doesn't travel alone anymore. He travels with a whole group of people, like two planes full of people. It's not just one plane anymore. Vayimshechu Sham as David. Lemelech al Beis Yehuda. They anoint David as king. Where? Over whom? What does the pasuk say? This is going to be important and be the drama, the source of the drama for the next few chapters. Lemelech al Beis Yehuda. They do not make him king over the entire Jewish people. Likely, they don't have the authority to. I don't know if they meant to start anything up over here. They just decide there's a leadership vacuum. We don't know what everyone else is thinking. We can't take their pulse right now. We're not going to take their temperature. We know for us is that we want David as our king over Yehuda. And that is important. So, you have a leadership vacuum. And what happens? So here you have tribes. the Jewish people are a tribal society. And I don't mean that in the negative connotation, but that it seems to be that there's different personalities, they have different roles. In Klal Yisrael, they work together a lot. We've seen that when we learned Sefer Shoftim. But here, Yehuda's taking their man. This is their man, David HaMelech. And they know that Yehuda is the mantle of leadership. Lo yaser shev mi Yehuda. And they see him, he comes, and they anoint him immediately. And then David is given his first test. And you tell me, why is this a test? Vayagidu lo David, in the same sentence. Da-da-da-da. Here's the king. Vayagidu lo David lemor. Anche Yavesh Gilad Asher Kavur Shaul. Want to let you know, remember, Shaul's body was desecrated. We know that it was eventually buried, but David might not have known that. All he was told was that the body was left at the Har Gilboa, at the top of the mountain in the battle site. And presumably the Plishtim took it. And we saw they paraded it around, they hung it. They hung his body in Beit Sha'an. And they tell him that the people of Yavesh Gilad buried Shaul. Why is that a test? How could that be a test? If David, yeah, Shira, go ahead.
No. Just
see, is David vindictive? Is David vengeful? We've had too many leaders and too many kings in all of our histories that have been vengeful. And what do they say? Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. That happens too many times, that people take their power and they become power hungry, and they become fearful that everybody is trying to take, and paranoid that everyone's trying to take the crown from them. So what type of person is David HaMelech? Who is he at his core right now? What is he? The response to this question is going to be very, very important. How is he going to treat Anshe Yavesh Gilad? Does he care that Shaul's body is buried? Shaul wanted to murder him. He made his life a Gehenna for so many years. Vayishlach David malachim anshe Yavesh Gilad. David sends messengers to Yavesh Gilad. Vayomer lehem, Bruchim atem l'Hashem. You should be blessed to God. Asher asisim chesed hazeh im adonecha im Shaul v'tikbru oso. Thank you so much for taking the achrayas for burying Shaul HaMelech. Vata yasa Hashem imachem chesed v'yemes. Hashem should do chesed v'yemes with your entire town. I will never forget you. And we'll see if David's going to, you know, literally never forget. And then he gives him chizuk. Again, these letters back then meant so much. Ki meis adunechem, Shaul. And be strong and strengthen yourself. Support each other. Because your king died. Your leader. And I want to let you know, the Beis Yehuda has made me king over them. Open. He's sharing. He says, I'm not king over you. Yavesh Gilad is not part of Yehuda. I want to let you know personally that Yehuda made me king over them. I don't have the authority to make myself king over the entire Jewish people. Right? He's treading very carefully. Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm going back to where it says that the people of Yehuda, it says Mashchu Oto and all. I thought anytime we see that word, you know, the quote, the anointing of a melech, that was like with the shemen, you know, we've read it before, poured on the head, that kind of thing. And so what did it really I mean, how can that word, that shoresh, mem shin chet, be applied to people doing something to a person as opposed to the Kaddish Baruch Hu or a Navi doing it? Like, what did that imply when they...
I'm not fully understanding your question.
The shoresh, when it says that the people of Yehuda,
yeah,
anointed him, quote, you know, did that imply that the same physical act of pouring the oil on his head to declare that he was king over them? Because they're the shoresh, you know, like,
yeah, they poured
like
oil over his head.
Bloodletting from the 17th century, right?
Yeah, I thought it was just something that, you know, if the Kaddish Baruch Hu chose somebody, that shoresh was used. It's okay. Go ahead. Didn't mean to sideline.
No, it was oil. They used oil to.
Okay.
I don't know. It was an Alpinavi. You're right. It was an Alpinavi. Did they use the oil that was used in the Beis HaMikdash? Definitely not. There was no Beis HaMikdash. But right. maybe they had that old oil, or maybe they used something different. It's a good point. So David is open about this. He understands that this is going to be very complicated if he becomes king. There are likely going to be factions that are going to be unhappy with him as king. There are other people that need time to mourn the death of Shaul, and for him to assert himself during this period is going to be extremely difficult. But David is not always in charge of his PR. Leaders are not always in charge of their social media handle and how their message gets out. And sometimes it takes a life of its own. And you're not always in control of the narrative. Vavner Bener, as this is happening, and as the news of the death of Shaul continues to spread, Vavner Bener, Sar Tzava Asher L'Shaul. Shaul had a general. We're going to learn that each side had one general who was extremely protective of their side. Shaul had a general, his name was Avner Bener. Avner is very, you know, protective of Shaul. And Shaul's died. What does he do? Lakachas Ishbosheth ben Shaul vayavir machanayim. He takes Ishbosheth, who was Shaul's son, presumably the oldest of sons now, right? Things changed very quickly because three of the sons were killed in a battle on a mountain, Har Gilboa. And he takes Ishbosheth and he makes him king. Vayimlichehu el Gilhad, el Ashuri, el Yisrael, el Ephraim, el Binyamin, el Yisrael kulam. He makes him king over Jewish people. Ba'al Yisrael kulam. Right? That is a big deal. Okay, Sam mentioned it earlier, but right, the word civil war. This sounds something, right? What's going to happen here? If the people of Yehuda made themselves a king, and now the people of, you know, Binyamin plus Yisrael Kulo made themselves a king, then that doesn't always, or it never really works out well for anyone involved, right? That's just how it is. So what's going to happen now? That, you know, is somebody going to back down? Oh, sorry, I didn't realize that you were made king. I will not be king. I'll just go back to my own business. I'll be a shepherd again. What's going to happen? Ben Arba'im Shana Ish Boshet Ben Shaul B'malcho Yisrael Shnei Mesrei Shnei Shani Malach Ach Beis Yehuda Hayu Acharei David. Ishbosheth was 40 years old. He's a relatively young man to become king. And he was king for 2 years. And we're going to talk about it now. This is like a preface to everything. Ach, what does Ach mean? Ach is a miat. Ach means to limit the kingdom and the kingship of Ishbosheth, the leadership of Ishbosheth, who did not follow Ishbosheth. Base Yehuda. And in a certain way, this story is emblematic of a lot of our history. We always have the B'nai Rachel against the B'nai Leah. The B'nai Rachel are the Shvatim of, right? Where we have, sorry, I'll say it differently. Just, we have people that are always splitting up and splintering from one another. And here you have a moment when a king dies. It should be a moment of tremendous unity and to fortify the Jewish people. Because ultimately, if things don't get strong with inside, what happens? If, you know, right now the Jewish people are pretty strong. With David, when he was a general, they were able to stave off the Plishtim numerous times. But if now the internally things are crumbling, eventually that leads to other people coming in and attacking the Jewish people and leaves them susceptible to war and attack and servitude, subjugation. This is going to be a long time. And there's a disparity here. Ishbosheth was king for 2 years. And David was king over just over Hebron for 7.5 years. Right? Something off about these two numbers. But this is really the preface to what's going to happen next. How are these two factions going to get along, or are they? We know the end of the game. The end of the game is that eventually David's going to become king over all the Jewish people. You know why we know that? How do we know that? Because there's a song, David, Melech Yisrael. Just kidding. But we know that David was king. We all know that. But how he develops as king is going to be very informative and important to us understand David himself, his leadership, where he came from, and also transitions within power. It is a very important, you know, piece and sugya, I would say, in life that we could learn a tremendous amount from. We're going to stop here for today. And Bezrat Hashem, next week, we will continue with learning and what happens next in this drama-filled chapter and part of our history.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Wonderful day. Freilich b'shushan purim.